Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Vladimir Putin has blamed Ukraine for a drone attack on Moscow yesterday, saying Kyiv was trying to scare and provoke him.
As a response, as you know, the Kyiv regime chose a different path of frightening Russia, frightening the citizens of Russia, and hitting the residential buildings. Of course, this is a clear sign of terrorist activity.
Well, President Putin went on to promise improved air defences and said the existing defence system had performed well against the drone attack. So what else are the Russian public hearing about yesterday's attack on their capital city? We're going to speak now to Francis Scar, who follows Russian media, both state and independent, for BBC Monitoring. And Francis, you're welcome as always to the programme this evening. I know you've already been sharing some clips online of the broadcast coverage of these attacks. Can you give us a sense of what is being said?
Well, there's been a development over the last 24 hours or so. I think at the start, it was clear they wanted to downplay this. So we witnessed the knee-jerk reaction we usually see when something goes wrong for Moscow. This was true after the Ukrainian counteroffensives last autumn. So there was this attempt to stick very closely to the official statements from the mayor of Moscow and the local governor, who said that there had been minor damage to buildings, no casualties, and an emphasis on claims that the air defense systems had functioned very successfully. And in line with what Putin said, that this was some kind of terrorist attack that really didn't have any kind of military aim, there's been an attempt to sort of portray it as a sign of weakness, this idea that Russia is successfully striking military targets in Ukraine. Putin himself claimed that Russia had targeted the Ukrainian military intelligence building over the weekend and with a missile strike, and that all Ukraine had in response was this kind of this drone attack aimed merely at creating a sense of intimidation and vulnerability among ordinary Russians.
I was speaking to one analyst yesterday who was positing the idea that this actually might backfire to an extent on Ukraine, who I know have denied being responsible, but backfire nonetheless, in the sense that it could mobilise the Russian population to be more radicalised against Ukraine. And I saw in some of the clips that you posted some similar analysis from some in Russian media.
Yes, well, of course, in many ways, this drone attack brings it closer to home for large parts of the Russian population who, up until this point, have seen the war on TV or who have been able to effectively bury their heads in the sand. And this is something that some of the more aggressive commentators on state TV have been very aware of. And they've said that this could be used to galvanize the Russian population behind the war effort, and that this really will bring home to them the reasons why they're fighting in Ukraine. This morning, one pundit on state TV was saying that the more of these so-called terrorist acts there are, the more society will understand what's happening in Ukraine, and that the threat to them is not there in somewhere far away, but here actually in Moscow. And he accused Ukraine of using fascist methods and said that Russian society would become more united. It remains to be seen, of course, whether this will actually galvanize Russian society. Some of the reaction on social media suggests that, in fact, some Russians almost felt glad about this, that it was really bringing it home to those who had launched this invasion.
Meanwhile, then, the head of the Wagner Group has been blasting the Kremlin over the attacks. Can you tell us what he's been saying?
Well, he was very critical. In fact, he was more critical of the Russian leadership than he was of Ukraine, who Russia has, of course, blamed for this attack. Yevgeny Prigozhin used unmentionable terms for the Russian leadership, the military leadership. He has, of course, over recent months reserved particular criticism for the defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, and Valery Gerasimov, the general who is effectively the head of the Russian army. And He said that this, you know, it was it showed poor management and the fact that they're not doing their job properly. They're not able to protect Moscow, the capital of Russia.
And finally, then, the UK Foreign Secretary, James Cleverly, he defended Ukraine's right yesterday to, and I'll quote, project force beyond its own borders for self-defence, that differs somewhat from the US position more generally. How has that statement from James Cleverly gone down in Russia?
Well, James Cleverly's statement actually has probably been the top subject on Russian state TV today. While he made it clear that he was only making general points rather than commenting on the particular incident, he said, of course, that Ukraine had the right to project force beyond its borders. And Russian state TV, Russian state media has hit back today. And one presenter actually said, in a reference to the this ridiculous cover story that was given in 2018 after the Salisbury poisoning that targeted Sergei Skripal, the former Russian spy, you'll remember that the suspects for this poisoning were claimed that they had visited Salisbury to see the cathedral and its spire. And Olga Skabeyeva, this top Russian TV host today, said that perhaps Russia could make the spire of Salisbury fall on James Cleverly's head. Something reminiscent almost of these films like Hot Fuzz, for example, the comedy. This, of course, has also been used to justify this narrative we've been seeing from Russian state media over recent months, that in fact Russia is not fighting Ukraine, it's merely fighting it's fighting the West, which is using Ukraine. And James Cleverly's comments have been portrayed as more evidence of this, that Russia is actually the victim in this whole situation and is fighting the collective West, with the UK's role in particular being singled out.
We'll leave it there for the moment, but thank you very much for joining us. That's Francis Scar, who followed Russian media for BBC Monitoring.